Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we left off at verse number 17 last time, which says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavor to more abundantly to see your face with great desire." And here we have the Apostle Paul, as we've finished up looking at these, speaking about the nation of Israel and the example that they were to these saints at Thessalonica. Now he's going to start talking with them here about the things that happened when he was there actually ministering with them. The account that we see, if we go over to Acts chapter number 17, we'll see where Luke's going to record the information about what exactly happened when the Apostle Paul was there in Thessalonica ministering unto these individuals. And here in Acts chapter number 17, we're going to start here at verse number 1. And it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." So we have here Paul and Silas being in Thessalonica for a period of 3 weeks. And we see that from the issue when it says that he reasoned, you know, for 3 Sabbath days out of the Scriptures in the synagogue. So we have 3 weeks that they're there. And you see the opposition that they face throughout those 3 weeks as a result of what it is that they're doing. And how the end result of that opposition is that they had to flee the city. They had to go away in order to try to, you know, keep the message going forward as a result of everything that they were facing. And this is something you see happen over and over again with the ministry of the Apostle Paul and the opposition that comes to him because of the fact that committed unto him is the message that God has given for this dispensation dealing with the Gentiles, the gospel that we have for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the 3rd day according to the Scriptures, and a person putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. This is the message given to him. He had a responsibility to, you know, make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery and how he was going around doing this. And Satan always opposes the things that are going on of God. And the result of it was that Paul and Silas had to flee, had to separate themselves from this assembly of individuals who they had been preaching to. And when you see Paul look at this idea and describe the thing of the care that he had for the saints, but also the feelings that he had as a result of not being around those who were the members of the body. You see how Paul goes through some things related to being separated from Titus. We can go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 to see a description of what it is that Paul writes here about what was going on in his mind as a result of Titus not being there with him. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to read here verses 12 and 13, which say, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia." So here you have the Apostle Paul, even though he has this responsibility to be preaching this gospel, he's having a door opened for him to be able to preach this message. You know, the thing that you see him praying for, that door of utterance to be opened, praying for that spirit of boldness to come upon him to boldly proclaim this message. And here he is having this opportunity to actually go and do this, and yet he's saying that he had no rest in his spirit as a result of Titus not being there with him to be carrying out this ministry. Paul was struggling with his emotions from being separated from a member of the body of Christ. Now, if we stay in this same epistle, we're just going to turn over a couple chapters here to chapter number 7 to see what's going to happen here in chapter number 7. We're going to read here verses 5 and 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, with outward frightings, with inward fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." So you have really the exact opposite of what was going on there in chapter number 2, of where, you know, things seemed to be going well. He was having the door of utterance open. He was not facing this opposition at that time, yet he had no rest in his spirit because Titus wasn't there. Now he gets into Macedonia. He's facing all of these problems as a result of preaching this message, to the point of where he's saying his flesh is troubled. He's having no rest there. And yet the comfort comes unto him, comes unto those that are ministering with him, by the fact that Titus arrives. Titus is there to be carrying out the message with them, to be ministering with them and going forth and preaching this gospel. And Paul says that, you know, even though things were going rough for them, there was still a comfort that he had by being around this individual. Now, this is an individual that by the time Paul finishes his ministry, Titus is nowhere to be found because he's loved this present world and has forsaken the Apostle Paul. Yet at this moment, he's staying true to Paul. He's staying true to the message, and there's a comfort that comes from being with him. And we as the members of the body of Christ should have that same understanding of when we are around the members of the body, that there should be these feelings of comfort, these feelings of joy from being around the members of the body. You know, it should not be a thing of where we are, you know, sad to be around people, or, you know, annoyed by being around the members of the body. We should have these feelings of comfort, these feelings of joy from being with each other. And the fact you see how Paul has so much care for the saints, that you see how he sends individuals to find out what's going on with individuals. Let's go over to Philippians chapter number 2 to see Paul describe this in his epistle here to the church at Philippi. And here in Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 19. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." So the comfort that was going to come to the Apostle Paul was going to come unto him by the fact that he was going to know what was going on with this assembly in Philippi by the fact that he was sending Timothy unto them, so that way Timothy could find out what was going on. He could tell Paul, "This is what I'm seeing there," and Paul would be able to have a comfort come unto him because he would know exactly what was going on in this assembly. This is the care that he had for these individuals, to be able to know that they were doing well, that they were standing for the truth of God's word, rightly divided. We see this issue of the care that individuals have for the saints in the example of, if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, to see where the Apostle Paul is going to hold up some individuals here as an example for us. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, we're going to read here verses 15 and 16. And it says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth." So you see how Paul holds up this whole household of individuals who were, it describes them as being addicted to the ministry of the saints. Their whole life was revolving around the fact that they were trying to demonstrate this care for the saints. And as they were doing this, they were doing in such a manner that Paul could see exactly what it is that they were doing and hold them up as, this is something that everyone else should be doing and should be supporting those that are functioning in this manner, that are demonstrating this care, that are demonstrating the fact that they want to be around those who are the members of the body. And you see how Paul, all throughout his ministry, he has this desire to keep going, to keep visiting all these places to find out exactly what is going on with those who are the members of the body, and to be able to, you know, fellowship with them, to be able to be edified by each other, by being able to share the word, to be able to share the understanding that they have. And we can see, if we go over to the book of Romans, we're going to chapter number 1. And we're going to see how Paul is going to write something here to this assembly of individuals that, as he's writing this epistle to them, he has never met these individuals. Yet here they are as saved members of the body of Christ, and he's writing all this doctrine unto them in this book. And you see this description that he gives as he begins this epistle here. We're going to start here at verse number 8 of Romans chapter number 1. It says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers,
making request that by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And that's where the comfort comes, by being around the other members of the body of Christ, is by the fact that there's a, describes as the mutual faith. By the fact that both people that are being discussed have the same faith, have placed their trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary. And by doing that, that's when you can see how there's this description of the fact of that there's a comfort together that comes from being around those individuals. There's a growth that occurs by being around the other members of the body of Christ. And that's how you see how Paul describes, you know, he talks about how he prays for them. So there's a care that he has there. He's hoping to impart, and he describes a spiritual gift that they would be established. He wants them to have this growth. Even though he's never met them, he still has the same care that he has as if you were describing his relationship with Timothy or his relationship with Titus. That same feeling is what he has for these saints who he's never even met. And as he's, you know, he begins the epistle this way, and as he's closing out the epistle, let's go over to chapter number 15 here in the book of Romans to see how Paul's going to describe something as he's getting close to the end of this epistle here. And we're going to read here verse number 24 of Romans chapter number 15. It says, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." So Paul, as he's continuing on in his ministry, he has this, you know, continuous plan of, well, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go here. And he's planning, you know, I'm going to go into Spain. And when I'm going to Spain, I'm going to make sure that I stop first in Rome to be able to minister with you, to be able to have this thing of where he could come unto them and he can see them, and that he can be filled with their company, because he's going to have that encouragement that's going to happen when somebody is around other members of the body. Now, as Paul finishes his epistles, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4 to see how Paul is going to describe some things as he's writing his last epistle, which is going to complete the Word of God, that he's going to describe something related to being around other individuals. Now, in 2 Timothy, he's already identified in chapter number 1 how all those that were in Asia have turned away from him. You know, so there's all these people he had ministered to that have walked away from the gospel of the grace of God. Now we see here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we start here in verse number 9, says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." We'll stop there in verse 10 for a moment. And you see how Paul describes that, you know, he uses Demas as that first example here. That Demas has forsaken him, having loved this present world. So Demas wants nothing to do with standing for the gospel of the grace of God. He's departed from the Apostle Paul
and he goes into Thessalonica. Now, if he's going into Thessalonica, it means that by the time Paul's writing 2 Timothy, that even this assembly that we've been studying the epistles to, that they have forsaken the Apostle Paul as well. Because if somebody's trying to avoid the things of the message of the grace of God, they're going to go somewhere where that message is no longer being taught. So they go into, he goes into Thessalonica, so that way it's not going to be an issue for him. And in that same verse, you see how Crescens, the same thing would be described of him, that he's forsaken the things of Paul, he goes to Galatia. So he goes to another region where the Apostle Paul administered to and had written up an epistle to, and these individuals have turned away from him as well. And then he closes that thought out by identifying Titus, that individual that we saw in 2 Corinthians that had been ministering with him, that Titus has forsaken him and goes unto Dalmatia, a place that you don't see a description of Paul ministering to, but it had to have been a place where they were having nothing to do with the things of the gospel of the grace of God. And as Paul is dealing with the fact that these individuals are departing away from him, we see here in verse number 11 what he describes when he says, "Only Luke is with me." So it's only Luke that is standing by him as he's continuing on to minister. Even though he's locked up in prison at this point, Luke is still there ministering with him. And Paul concludes here and says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, you know, if you have read Acts chapter number 15, you see how there's a division that happens between Paul and Barnabas, because Barnabas wanted to bring Mark with them on their journey to preach this message. And Paul says no, having seen the fact that Mark has abandoned them at various times because of the opposition that they faced. And yet, by the time he's closing out his ministry, you see that Mark is profitable. He wants Timothy to bring Mark to him, to minister with him, so that way there could be a comfort. You know, that mindset changes because he sees how Mark has actually stood for the message. He thought he wasn't before, now he is. Now he is profitable. There is that desire that he has even at the end of the ministry. Even as when he's talking about, you know, right before this, and he knows his time of departure is at hand. He's, you know, looking at these things, knowing that there's really nothing more that he's going to be doing, and yet there's still a comfort that comes from being around these members of the body. First, this is the same thing that we, as the members of the body of Christ, should be looking at. We should be having this same joy being around them. So when Paul's describing this here and looking at this idea of that he's been taken from them for a short time in presence, you know, it's this thing of, yes, he is taken away from them physically, but there's still a care that he has for them. And that's what we're going to see as we look in our next episode, when he's saying that it says he's taken away from them in presence, but not in heart. That there's still this care that he has, even though he's all these miles away from them and facing all these this opposition, he still has a care for these saints in Thessalonica. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services as they occur live on Facebook. We have information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study, you know, through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything you hear in these broadcasts, anything that you see or hear from our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. Our contact information is also on our website, so feel free to contact us with any questions or thoughts that you have. And until next time, keep fighting a good fight of faith and preaching this message to this lost and dying world.